Blog Talk Radio.
All right, this is Thomas with the Philosophy Show, and it is December 2nd, 2016. And it's 12:30 in the morning, so, you know, Eastern Standard Time. The show used to be on Wednesday nights, Thursday mornings. This is Thursday night, Friday morning. So I haven't done a show since a while. Let me see. The last show I did was probably in October, and now it's December, and I have done a show for like 2 years or something like that without missing an episode until just recently. And what was I doing? I was doing some other shows, actually. I was interviewing candidates running for Congress. Now, these aren't your typical candidates. In some ways, they are. These are all candidates who are on the ballot here for Congress. And they were the only third-party options in their districts. Or their area. So that is kind of interesting. So whatever you want to make of that, you can view all that at youtube.com/blastoffreshair, or actually blogtalkradio.com/election channel. And so, yeah, be my goal to be part of changing the political paradigm into just the lesser two evils, having more choices like most other first world countries. And actually, you know, the state of Maine passed an initiative referendum in November 8th for rank voting, rank choice voting. I think they're the first states that does that. And that's a breakthrough. And I think a real breakthrough will be once we see at least 10 independent or third-party candidates in Congress, in the House, the Senate. And then that will not be an end in itself, but that will break open the floodgates for real change. So I named the title of today's show. It's a half-an-hour show. It's a call-in show. I guess call-in number is area code 646-929-1344. Again, that's 646-929-1344. So if you want to call in, if you need any advice, if you want to bring something to light and talk about a topic, some news, or just whatever, give us a call. So we have talked about a wide range of issues, and today's episode 155. I named the episode today, Give Unto Caesar the Things Which Are Caesar's. And so we're going to go into that. And also the Kingdom of Heaven. Now, this is not really a religious show or known as a religious show, but it is about philosophy. It's called The Philosophy Show. I mean, it's blogtalkradio.com/philosophy. And the very first episode, I think, is still the most best episode, can I say? Something from Nothing. And I just go through the philosophical steps to find an answer or search for an answer. To seek an answer and deduct different possibilities. And we've had some other good episodes. And, you know, this episode 155, and before the last 2 months when I took off to do some other interviews, I haven't missed an episode. I think I missed one out of those 154. So how many weeks is that? I mean, that's like almost 3 years. But give unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's. That comes from the Bible, and let's see exactly where. So it's actually translated differently in different versions, but It's in Matthew, the book of Matthew, chapter 22, and about the 21st verse or so. Let's see. And so I'm just going to read that to you, and then let's discuss it. All right, so starting with chapter 17 and going to 22, Matthew 22. So and actually I might even start a little bit before that. All right, so actually I will start just at the beginning. So, sorry about this. All right, so Matthew 22. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they could not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants, and entreated them spitefully, and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies, and destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then says he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as you shall find, bid to the marriage. So the servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment, and he said unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. They sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true, and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. Tell us therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tributes unto Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness, and said, why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. And they brought unto him a penny, and he said unto him, who is this image and superscription? He said unto him, Caesar's. Then says he unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. When they heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. And what I get out of that kind of is you got to do your own thing. If you're going to play in the game of life, you got to play by your principles and, is right. If you play a rigged game, then you're always going to lose. It's like playing against a house in a gambling casino or something. If you're always going to play defense and try to argue and debate a framework that is already set up to give you the lesser of two evils always, and you have to defend one over the other when they're both evil, you're always going to end up losing. And so you have to play your own game. Give unto Caesar what is Caesar's. Let the powers be have the people that want to follow them and think that You know, they have a place in their system, and we can offer a different system. And they, you know, they'll have to defend why their system is better than ours. We can give them a choice, an option. I guess you could call it competition. But, you know, like, for example, why does it have to be either we have a complete socialist Medicare healthcare system or we have a complete free market system? Why can't we have both? Maybe a voluntary public option, you know, and also allow the free market to fully run and let people choose, you know, or, you know, it doesn't always have to be this or that. There could be other options, and maybe if you can think of that other option, you should present it and just present it without giving time and energy to the worser options that don't even deserve discussing about, really. Kind of like showing what you can do versus can't, I guess, or whatever. So there are things that are way better. Like in news media and the truth. You know, you have to either trust the real news or the fake news. Now you can discern for yourself and trust neither of them, maybe, or trust that there's something of truth in both of them, or just treat each issue on its own and use it as a, you know, a piece to investigate more, and or see if it's even worth looking into or not. I mean, so when we're constantly just bickering and going in circles and debating these extremes of these lesser two evils, I mean, is this what you really want? You know, let us fight over the scraps under the table of our own, in our own house, you know, while people fool us to keep thinking that, you know, there's a good cop, bad cop, and it's different depending on what side you're on, you know, what side you kind of have been put in, when there really isn't those two sides. They're just made up sides. They're on the same team above the table. They're shaking hands while you're under the table trying to gather up crumbs. And so you just want to play your game. Forget that whole situation. Build your own house. Now, of course, they're going to want to, you know, take over that house. Eventually, they'll probably try to smooth talk you. Eventually, they'll move into the house. You know, eventually, they'll probably loan you money and you'll get in debt. And then before you know it, they're sitting at the table in that new house. The vicious cycle. And so what are some other things? Well, while we're on the topic of give unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, let's look at the kingdom of heaven. Here's Matthew 18. And so I guess the kingdom of heaven has been explained in some parables. And here's one from Matthew 18, starting at the beginning. At that time, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child unto him and said, in the midst of them, and said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receives me. And then whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged around his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea." woe unto the world because of the offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. And then there it says, wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off. And right, so there's another one in this here's another in this chapter 21 of Matthew 18. It says, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Seven times? And Jesus said, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Here's another parable of the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take accounts of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. For so as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. And the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet, and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debts. So when his fellow servants saw what he done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then this Lord, after he called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee and all that debt because thou desiredest me. Shouldest not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. So that is the kingdom of heaven, is not being judgmental, because that's not your place. You know, forgiveness, the same way you'd want to be forgiven. And which is, you're actually, you know, I guess forgiving something that was physical, but it's also a principle that can come full circle. Here's another example, and of the kingdom of heaven. This is Matthew 20, chapter 20, verse, verse 1. Matthew chapter 20, verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again, he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and said unto them, why stand ye here all day idle? They say unto him, because no man has hired us. He said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even the evening had came, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning with the last unto the first. Were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, "These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day." But he answered one of them and said, "Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way, and I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good?" So the last shall be first, and the first last, for many be called, but few chosen. So, I mean, that could mean a lot of different things, I guess, or a few things. I mean, one thing I could get out of it is it's a parable, so, I mean, so it might not literally mean a penny, but it means that everyone's getting the same thing. You know, I mean, maybe a penny is what there is. Maybe if you think of hours as centuries or something, you know, maybe because inflation, the penny actually is the same value over time, I guess, could be one way of thinking of it. Another way is you can't really cut a penny in half. So, I mean, but some things don't have that kind of value. So, like, what if the penny represented everlasting life? Are you going to give someone partial everlasting life? Or is just everlasting life everlasting life? It's not something that can be split. And so we're so in a paradigm where everything has to be measured. And everlasting life, there's really no measurement. It's everlasting. So you either get it or you don't, whether you were first or you're last. It might seem that way to us, but if you have it, you have it. And everlasting life's going to be equal all the way around. So, you know, we want to measure everything. And so there's that. I think that's interesting. Play our own game here. And then finally, Matthew 22 again, it's Matthew chapter 7. And starting with chapter 7, "Judge not that ye be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but you do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is a log in your own eye, you hypocrite? First take out the log out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which of you, if his sons demand him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" And then the golden rule, starting with verse 12, chapter 7 of Matthew. "So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law of the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And a tree and its fruit. Beware of false prophets. You'll recognize them by their fruits. Build your house on the rock." So I think the golden rule is also elsewhere in the Bible as well. So, I mean, the golden rule is basically do unto others as you want them to do unto you. And let's see. 12:31 also is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandment greater than these, and also to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. So it's about love. It's about not measuring so much and just providing for what needs to be provided. But the things that are almost immeasurable, a whole different paradigm. I mean, you know, those people that were working, you know, all these laborers were working, and they're all paid a penny, even the ones that started at 9 a.m. compared to the ones that start at 5 p.m. But when you're paid with everlasting life, I mean, or something timeless like that, can you, you know, give someone more? And actually, the people who started later, they're the ones who got the everlasting life first. I mean, and there's a couple things that we kind of read into that too, I guess. But, so give unto Caesar that which is Caesar. And in the meantime, the kingdom of heaven is treating others as you'd want to be treated. If you expect to be forgiven, you have to forgive. And then if you are willing to be forgive, then you have everlasting life. I mean, is the message, or you have a kingdom that will have, and principles that have everlasting life at least, right? And that's sustainable, that's mature, about not going in the vicious cycle. You know, how do you break out of the vicious cycle when you do things that aren't just about what your body wants? I mean, you know, like just consuming and eating, you know, like a beast that cannot control itself. You can control itself and make a decision, and that's spiritual maturity. That's evolving. And that's breaking the circle, not doing the stuff that keeps the circle going. You know, in certain instances, you do turn the other cheek, or you sacrifice yourself instead of someone else. I mean, that's what Jesus was talking about. And you break the vicious cycle. And through others, your message lives on, you know. And then so you're also working for the future, because you realize, you know, life is life. You can't really measure it as far as everlasting life goes. And so you can make sometimes much more of an impact by doing the right thing. Anyways, we have 60 seconds remaining. Just, you know, that's been our episode today. So do your own thing. Give unto Caesar what's Caesar's. Give unto Republicans and Democrats what's theirs. We don't need it, want it. It's a waste of time, sucking energy away. Let's show something different, you know, and something better. All right. Well, thanks for listening. And so, you know, like, share, comment, call in, spread the word, blogtalkradio.com/philosophy.